Do we have some action during the day, intraday, down 20, up 20, overnight, down 15, up 15? Seems like you can't keep this market down. We're going to talk about NYCB. What a wild ride in that, $1.86 to $4.10. We got some earnings to cover. We have a big earnings report after the close. And on a day when we're talking about banks, we're going to have the CEO of One United Bank on to talk commercial lending, fintech, AI, shrinkflation, all that important stuff. It's Thursday. You could tell we're fired up for pre-market prep.
Welcome to Benzinga's pre-market prep.
This is a volatile puppy here.
It's all about execution styles and strategies.
As I said, folks, wild ride overnight. We're up 11 and a half handles, 51.23 and a quarter. The buck down 19 cents, still over 103. Bonds up a quarter point, just under 122. Crude slightly in the red, 35 cents, 78.77. Gold having a good day, up 790 at 21.66.10. Silver flat here, not following gold at 24.42. Bitcoin taking a little breather under the all-time closing high at 67,425. Triple D, intraday trading, NYCB at $1.86, going to zero. You got to be short it.
I'm not shorting anything under $5 ever. Stuff like that is just a no trade. When you have so much potential news all over the place, and you know, there's everybody on Twitter saying, yeah, I bought NYCB at $2. I bought calls. You know, look at me. You know, I'm a hero. But you don't hear anybody from the person who bought it at 10, at 7, at 6, at 5, at 4. You only hear from the two. Don't get fooled by Twitter. There's 90% of them are sitting on losses on NYCB. There's one person that bought it yesterday, and he is screaming from the mountaintops how they bought the low in there. Bring it, AB. Was it AB? Maybe it's AB.
AB, were you bid at, you know what? AB was bid at $2. There was arbitrage going on. He was bid at $2. People were buying a $1.86.
I actually beat myself up because I did think about buying NYCB when it went down 40%. But I tried this before, and like last year around this time of the year, I bought First Republic Bank on like on the same thing, thinking, oh, someone's gonna buy their assets and the stock will go back up something. And I got burned on it, so I was like, I'm not gonna do that again, and I should have. But yeah, so NYCB announced that it was looking for capital to help with its balance sheet, basically, that it seemed like it was going to zero, right? That they were in trouble. Most times when companies say they're looking for outside capital or a potential equity sale, it's very bad news. But clearly, they had been kind of working on something behind the scenes, because you had this group of firms led by former Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin came in. It was Liberty Strategic Capital, Hudson Bay Capital, Reverence Capital Partners, and they all pooled together more than $1 billion for NYCB. And you saw the stock shoot up more than 100% from its lows yesterday. Ended up closing up on the day more than 7%. So when it's all said and done, wasn't a terrible day for NYCB.
Yeah, pretty nice buy for if they were injecting capital at $2 equity. Now it's here at $3.50. Do they hit the bid, Joel?
Exactly. I was going with Charles, and I was like, man, can they get out immediately? I mean, what? No, I'm sure there's some kind of restrictions. We've talked about this stock before a lot. I talked about it being a legacy position, was a legacy position in one of my portfolios, going back to Flagstar Bank. I mean, this is going back decades, and the first hint of bad news there, I mean, I watched it through the April stuff, but like that move from 10 to 7, I was just like, you know what? Once they start circling that, you know, that the bandwagon, I just couldn't take, not a huge position, but, you know, then you get the downgrades and the Moody's and everything. I don't know what to think now. I mean, if I bought it on the cheap yesterday, I would just look at that reopening print. I think it was like four. It went halted limit down and halted limit up. If you're good at trading stuff like that, go ahead. But unbelievable price action for a
$4. I want to just bring up right now and move away from all the news here and go into what is happening with the prince. I don't know. Regulators, you need to listen to this. The FINRA prints are screwing everything up. It continues to just be a mess. One, we don't know what the hell all these prints are because there's no transparency in it. But right now, you're looking, people are like, what's going on with SPY? What's going on with SPY? The FINRA prints just dumped for 6 minutes straight on like everything, where they were like way outside the market. It's way late reports. I don't know why they got to dump them on all like that. But it changes the last. So it looked like SPY just crashed. Like if you look at, you see the tapes,
yeah.
Joel? Like bring up SPY. All those prints, we're all nonsense.
I'm a buyer at 508.
Yeah, I buy that 509s too right now when it's bid 511. But that's not what, so now it's done. It looks like it's done. The dumping is done. IWM's still dumping actually. No, it's done too. But it was like Qs, SPY, all those prints were all nonsense. Just complete nonsense. Like they're trades. They probably occurred later yesterday or some other time. But
not
they're like
yesterday. Oh,
we need more transparency. Regulators, one, fix the tape. And if you're not going to fix it, then have it, like software developers, don't have it change the last. Because those were all outside trades that had nothing to do with the current market. So I don't know what just happened. Usually it hits at 8 o'clock. But for whatever reason today, yeah. I had to dump them for 6 minutes straight. So, and everybody's asking, what's going on? What's going on? And I mean, I see my last change. And it looks like S&P. But when you bring up the actual quotes, it's 511 bid trading 509. 509 continuously. So I have no idea. This is a serious problem, though, because these prints all dump at 8 o'clock and they screw up the last. And we can't tell you what they are, folks, because regulators think it's okay that we just dump anything off exchanges, just FINRA. There's no transparency. We don't know who it is, off exchange market makers, you know, institutional orders. We have no idea because it just says FINRA. Half the trades occur off exchange now, almost 50%, and they just blanket it all FINRA. So it would be nice to know, oh, it's over in this dark pool, or it's over in this, or this was over at Liquidnet, or this was Citadel. I mean, it would just be like Citadel. Everything is all Citadel because inside of every retail order. But what a mess. What a mess. And I just wanted to say that this morning because it was screwing up. It screws up your chart even, Joel.
I know. They catch me every once in a while.
437, 438, 439, 440. That didn't happen. That didn't even happen. But it's on the tape. Brutal.
I know we're getting a little distracted and AB is going to reel us in here, but
I think it's important to talk this stuff because
you to get too excited, but I am trying to get a regulator on the show that is trying to, I won't say a regulator, not a regulator, an outside source that's trying to fix this market structure. And only me and you will enjoy discussion and everyone else will fall asleep. But it's someone that's identified this problem. I mean, of course, it's been around for a long time. But I'll let you know when I can secure that. I'm working to bring Excellent. That guest on later Excellent. In the month. All right. Reel us in.
All right. Next headline, we've got NVO trading up more than 5% this morning on strong weight loss trial data showing that their drug amycretin. I'm probably not saying that right. So if we've got any doctors in the chat, I'm sorry. But we've talked about this, right? The future is skinny robots powered by AI. They're going to need these weight loss drugs. So you've got NVO trading higher. Eli Lilly trading a little bit lower on the news. This has just been a continuation of the biggest stories on Wall Street, you know, whether it's weight loss drugs, AI, whatever it is, it's just been the strong names are getting stronger.
Yeah. The two stories are AI and weight loss. I mean, that is really what has driven, you know, and those stories just continue and they continue to get bigger. I mean, Lilly was down on this news this morning. It's bounced all the way back though, because they can't help themselves when Lilly dips. And look, it was a pretty serious dip, Joel, on Lilly.
I saw
it going down. Yeah. Then you're like, oh, good news for NVO. It's got to be bad news for Lilly. And they're like, oh, no, it's in the weight loss. We'll just buy them back right anyways. But NVO, big pop. Remember, this is trading actively over in Europe. So we already know the market. It's not like it's in a price discovery mode. And it's like, oh, it just came out. I mean, it's been trading on for hours over on this news over in Europe. It's an active market. It's very tight. The high frequency traders got it in a 3 cent market, 130, 197, 132. So not a price discovery. It's a big overnight pop for NVO though. So shareholders happy.
Couple things on this. First of all, we'll just give you the pre-market action, 133.49. So if you want to target on the upside, Lilly, you did see the dip. They bought the dip. I just have a hard time really giving you guys good levels and $775 stocks. But when something's down $5, the first thing I look for, the mark. You know, can it get green on the session? This is probably not great for VKTX. That's trading down $7.50. So, and just one other, Dennis, you did your print rant. I'm just going to do one small rant on this and had absolutely nothing to do with how the stocks will trade. But according to my medical sources, it's still, you can take these drugs and you can do things, but it's just so important to alter your diet too, and to work out. You know, these are, you know, the greatest things ever, and everyone's going to lose weight. You don't have to do anything. And I'm not buying, and this is not an endorsement for Weight Watchers International, but she tells all her patients that are on these drugs that you got to alter your diet. You got to alter your lifestyle in order to have, or you can continue on the drug, but it's just, you know, it's hard to call the fad when you get this kind of price action. So, and what I said, this is not an endorsement for Weight Watchers International, but man, oh man, it's, we'll see. We'll see in a year. I mean, I just want to say one thing. I don't want to be long one of these stocks if something happens to somebody.
It seems crazy that you're just pumping yourself full of drugs to lose weight, like you said, Joel, when, you know, if you want to lose weight, and I could probably lose some weight, do a little exercise and change your diet. It's the safest way to do it. We'll say that. The traditionally safest way to do it is to change your diet, alter your diet, and do some exercise, and pounds will come off. It's just math, folks. You know, calories in, calories out. So it's all math. But, I mean, people don't want to do that. And they're like, well, this is the easy way out. I just pump myself here and I don't have to exercise. I can guarantee you there are people taking this drug and probably losing weight and not doing any change of their diet or not doing any change of their exercise. It's the easy way out. And everybody likes the easy way out. So that's why, you know, these stocks, and there's people losing a lot of money too, but that's why these stocks relentlessly bid, because they're like, well, we definitely have an obesity problem in North America. I won't just say America, because Canada, a lot of obese people too. So we have an obesity problem over here. We know that. And these drugs are helping with that. So, you know, it's good in that way. But I agree with you. Like, I don't know the side effects. Like, I think it's kind of crazy that I'm going to put a needle into my stomach. How often do they have to take the needle? Is it every day?
Yeah.
Not every day, is it?
I think so.
Is it every day? You got to shove a needle in your stomach every day?
Oh, maybe not. I don't know. I don't know. There's different ones, but I thought that the big one that people had to do every day, but maybe not. I mean, this, I think this probably might be the biggest, even though there's not a specific news story. I think Tesla's weakness is the biggest story on Wall Street right now. I mean, it seems like it's just going down every single day, trading down another $3 this morning, nearly 2%. I don't know where this thing's going to catch a bid, where it's going. You still have a lot of retail people I was seeing on Twitter yesterday saying, I'm all in on Tesla. I'm buying more Tesla. I'm buying the dip. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, clearly the market is pricing something in, whether that be because people are buying less of the cars, because the higher interest rates are hurting the company. I don't know. Either way, I mean, Tesla weak again this morning. Where does it stop?
It's the core business. And, you know, I love the humanoid aspect of it. I've talked about this. I have a quarter size position, which is quickly becoming an eighth size position. I'm glad I only went, whenever I go to quarter, it's always wrong. It's like, you kind of like the story, but you're kind of not convicted. Quarter size positions, just stop doing them. You know, if you just wanted a little taste, it's usually because you're wrong. So you're not convicted. Go in or go out, you know, don't go in the middle of the road like Mr. Miyagi. You know, karate, yes. Karate, no, okay. Karate kind of squish like grape. Well, stock in, good. Stock out, good. Stock kind of squish like grape. So I think same thing, Tesla. I'm getting squished like grape, at least that quarter size position here, because I like the whole humanoid story, but it's a long ways away. And the core company, people are moving to hybrids. People are moving to different types, you know, Toyota, nonstop bid. I mean, we thought this EV movement was going to happen. It's not. I sold my ALB on the last rally, and I just got out of this one, Joel. Unbelievably. Oh. It went all the way up, and I'm like, you know what? This has been the dog of all dogs in my portfolio, and I need to cleanse the portfolio. And I bought this stock at like $190, went down to, like, in the long-term portfolio. I sold part of it like 160, half of it, because I was like, I'm getting out of half of it, and then it just went all the way down to like 110. Well, I had that recent rally in February up to 140. I sold the other half at 138, I think. Oh. So I got out on that little pop there, getting me out. And obviously not getting whole. And, you know, most, this is where investors go wrong. They're like, well, I can't sell a loss. I don't take losses.
No,
they got
no.
a whole cover.
No.
I'll eat losses. I eat losses all the time. My narrative's wrong. My narrative was wrong on lithium because, you know what? EV is in the gutter. And Tesla is not helping that cause. And ALB tanks, does an offering, obviously got issues. Tanks. I mean, lithium is just not, you know, where the EV market wants it, where we are right now in the EV market. So Tesla seems to go down every day. We do have some bullish commentary. I want to go to Tesla's brother-in-law, Rivian, here, because Jefferies is coming out with a buy rating, being the contrarian. Contrarian calls have been
I like it.
I like contrarian calls. I'm not buying because EV is just in the gutter, but you know what? This could kickstart it a little bit. They're coming out with a buy rating, put a $16 price target on the puppy. It's up 2.7% because, hey, somebody's, you know, giving you a call on Rivian. Everybody's been dying to, you know, jump in there and bounce into this. But I like the EV story as well. I think eventually we're going to it. But you know what? Right now in 2024, with the higher interest rates where they are, EV has been the worst place to be.
Couple things here. First of all, you're the only person on Wall Street that can make an analogy from Karate Kid to investing in stocks. Okay.
Movie talk.
Number two, I had never seen that movie before, and I was flying somewhere, and it was on the, you know, the bat, you know, on the flight. And I watched it and I thought of you. That's number
Great
two.
Movie.
Number Great three, movie. You mentioned you were talking about this yesterday, and you said you owned a small piece, and you said, oh, I would love it at 100.
Yeah,
and I was thinking to myself, you're not going to ride this down, you know, to 100.
Probably. When you put those quarter size positions on, you don't even think about them. And you know what? They're usually terrible. I think I'm going to stop again. I'm going to stop putting quarter size position. All the ducks got to be in a row. It's like, well, I like the humanoid story, but I don't really like the chirp. But I'm like, oh, I'll buy a little piece just because, you know, and then, you know, it just falls apart. So humanoids, obviously, a long ways out, too far out for this market to care about at this time. I think Tesla will be a story here. I think Tesla, in the long run, I think 10 years from now, Tesla's higher, but sure looks like 10 days from now, it's going to be lower. And I mean, yep, this separation, Aaron, and to bring up, you know, you're bringing it up, there is just so much separation happening in the Magnificent Seven. We talked about this. We should talk about it again, though, because it's relentless seller in Tesla, relentless selling in Apple. Apple bouncing a little bit here this morning, but I'm just like, even talking to a buddy over at Bright Trading, I was like, should just short Apple, because does it hold up? Probably not, because this is, you know, it's up as much as the market, but it just seems to separate every day and go down. So it's up 0.43%, SPY is only up 0.41%. I was like, I should think of just short Apple and, you know, buy SPY against me, probably make money, or just short Apple flat out, because it seems to go down every single day. Valuation is still expensive for Apple, and the story is out of favor. Man, that's a bad combination.
Yeah, one final thing. I'm just sorry, AB, and then I will let you go and move us on. You know, when you talk about your long-term investings, you say you like to buy good stocks in uptrends at reasonable valuations on a pullback. Okay, this is not in an uptrend, and it's not at a reasonable valuation.
No, it was this humanoid story. It was a humanoid story. It's all bad.
I wonder where the S&P 500 and the Qs would be if Tesla and Apple were doing well right now, right?
10,000.
Yeah. Tesla still does. And I mean, like, I don't know, this might upset some people in the chat, but it still has this type of like very tribal following. I saw on Twitter last night, I've been trying to find the tweet for the past like 5 minutes just because I thought it was kind of funny, but like this guy was basically like, I'm all in on Tesla. My whole entire portfolio is Tesla. I'm not selling anything. And then he goes on to say that Elon Musk is the greatest person to have ever walked on planet Earth. And he's being like dead serious. And I'm just like, okay. I mean, like, yeah, he's done a lot of good. I'm not saying that, but there's been a lot of people in history that, you know, might be up there as well. So I don't even think Musk would be on my Mount Rushmore, top four people. But again, like, maybe that can be something that helps the stock here is that you still have this underlying fan base of people that just love Musk and love the company so much. That's why
it's traded with such an extreme multiple for so long, the cult following of Elon Musk, you know, and the fact that, you know, people say it's not a car company, it's a technology company. It's definitely a car company right now, but I'm saying eventually it is a technology company. It's moving into other things, and the humanoid aspect is going to help, but it doesn't help today. It doesn't help tomorrow. Probably doesn't help next year. Probably doesn't even help the year after that. We're looking like 2027. You want to wait around 3 years while, you know, the cars are not selling as well. People are not buying EVs like they were before. They're going, you know, elsewhere. And this is where the issues lie. This is why it's not just Tesla. Oh my gosh, Lucid, you know, nothing. Fisker going belly up. It's going belly up. You know, like it's 40 cents now. It was pretty safe to say Fisker, even though they got that little capital infusion there the other day. I mean, it's probably not going to survive. You know, Rivian is 11 bucks. I mean, if you were all in on EV like Kathy Wood was, you know, talking on this, you know, it's the reason why, you know, Kathy's stock, ARKK, has massively underperformed, you know, because she buys growth at any cost. But if you went all in on EV like a year or two ago, you are just in a world of pain, a world of pain. It's why you should stay diversified, even if you believe. And I, 2 years ago, you were saying, I thought more people would be driving EVs. I didn't think it was just going to be Tesla. I didn't think Ford and GM was going to stop investing or curtail their investment in EV. Is that was the wake-up call. When Ford and GM said, you know, we're going to back off, you know, that's telling you, because there's some smart people over there that are figuring out that, hey, these aren't selling. We can't sell this Lightning. It's sitting here. It's too expensive to make. It's, you know, not, you know, nobody's buying a $100,000 truck. I mean, it's just too much money, especially with 7% or 6.5%. If you get a good rate financing, it's too high. And 0% financing, sure. Maybe, but in 6 or 7%, people can't afford it. You get the rich that can afford it, and that's it. And you know, so it's Tesla versus everyone else. That's kind of good news for Tesla, but at the same time, it's just the consumer is a little bit, the middle of the road consumer is strapped for big ticket purchases like that.
All right. Well, speaking of stocks that have big retail followings, Palantir, PLTR, had a big day yesterday. Announced a new deal with the U.S. military. I think I want to say around $200 million. Stock went up about 10%, trading up again this morning, nearly 4%. So again, I mean, like, hey, retail's winning here on Palantir. All-time highs.
I want to get perspective.
Not all-time highs.
Go. Continue.
No, go ahead.
Dennis?
You're talking about a company that is valued at $57 billion, and they get a $200 million contract, and they put on, how much did it go up yesterday, Joel? Is it over 10%?
No, 9.8%.
So, and with today's rally, you could say it's up 13%. Yeah. So they tacked on, for this $200 million worth of revenue, they tacked on about $7 billion worth of market cap. It just tells you how much story is everything. You know, the AI story, we get one $200 million contract. That's not even like in the bottom line. That's the top line, folks. I know their margins are pretty good. So, you know, but I mean, tacking on $9 or $8 billion worth of market cap for a $200 million sale contract seems insanity. So there is definitely pockets of bubblishness here. I mean, but it doesn't matter. When the story is hot, valuation doesn't matter at all. I've tried to buy Palantir. I have been long it a couple of times. But, you know, I just couldn't stomach the valuation on this one. You know, like you can stomach an NVIDIA valuation. I could stomach an AMD valuation. I could never stomach this one. The forward PE, they're telling me, is 83. So, you know, it's cheaper than it was because the current PE is 290. So maybe it's coming and maybe it's going to grow into this valuation, but it's not even a small company at this point in time. $57 billion is an immense company here. And I don't even totally, they got some government contracts and stuff, but I'm not even, you know, like, I don't see them as a top player in AI. I don't see them as, you know, the needle mover here. So I don't totally get it, but, you know, Johan's saying, you know, forward P on 2027 is only 48. So maybe they can grow into this valuation and maybe they're going to be the AI provider of all government. And that's, you know, the story here. But, wow, story is really driving the bus.
Yeah, I actually was surprised too when I was looking at the stock this morning that it was a $50 billion company. And to your point, Dennis, I mean, you have news of a $200 million deal, and then the company is going to go up, you know, more than what, $5 billion?
$7 billion.
Wow. It makes really no sense. So, Palantir has been one, honestly, that I've never been in. And I'm not really that interested in it because, like you said, I mean, if you're wanting to buy because of AI, you probably have other options that are better than Palantir. That's not to say that Palantir can't benefit from AI over time and can't do well. Of course it can, but it wouldn't be my pick to play the AI trade.
And I mean, the chart looks good here, though. So if you're just trading technicals and you're trading story, you're probably long this still. You know, and it continues to go. And if you're just thinking about move 16, the consolidation period, it's a breakout here now.
Yeah.
Classic breakout. Momentum traders are going to be in here. So I can't stomach in the long-term portfolio because I can't wrap my head around this valuation here. But I won't argue with you if you're long, because right now the story is hot. Every time, you know, if it gets another $200 million contract, going to go up another 10%. I mean, this is where we're at here now. So there is, you know, pockets where just story just matters. And when stocks are breaking out, the only thing that matters is story.
I'll give you a number to follow for the next 2 months, and that will be 27. Because back in October of 2021, it peaked just under that. And in November of 21, it peaked at 27.11.
All right, let's keep it moving. We had some earning news last night in Victoria's Secret, ticker VSCO. And I don't know. I mean, the theme for me this week that I've noticed has just been volatility across the board. I talked about this yesterday that on Monday, you know, we were trading higher all day, then had a sell-off toward the end of the day. Tuesday was the opposite, where we were trading lower. Victoria's Secret, I mean, the volatility was crazy after the company reported earnings. I'm going to pull those numbers up, but Dennis, we were talking about it before the show, actually traded higher before dropping. Now ended up down 30%. Victoria's Secret EPS beat by 11 cents, 258 versus 247. Sales at 2.08 billion, missed the 2.09 billion. So numbers pretty much in line. Had to give some bad guidance or something, because the thing is, yeah, weak guidance, getting crushed this morning, down 30%. Which has been a theme for mall companies that you'll see in the mall. Foot Locker got crushed yesterday, down 30%. Victoria's Secret today, down 30%.
I don't know, but some of these moves on the earnings reports, the algorithmic moves on these earnings reports are nothing short of incredible. This thing ripped so much higher on the report. Nobody will talk about that today, but we're going to talk about it because it's just showing you the volatility off these earnings. This thing, they grabbed the 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. This was over $30 in like the blink of an eye, like in like 10 seconds. They ripped this thing up over $30. And then they decided, oh, no, we're wrong. And the bottom just falls out of it and falls and continues to fall. And then it's all the way down at $17 now. So the after hours range is nothing short of absolutely incredible. This isn't an AI stock, folks, this is a lingerie company. I mean, we can't figure out how to value this. Like, this market, you know, fundamentally, it's really hard to figure out anything here. It's about story and about reasonable valuations. But I mean, fundamental perspective, how is it worth $30 and then it's worth $17, you know, an hour later? I mean, we can't figure out how to value anything right now in this market. It's just wild, and algos are just controlling the world, everything.
All right.
Oh, Joel's on mute.
We got you on mute.
Oh yeah, I was coughing. That's a 2 minute chart right there.
Wow. So yeah. on that 2 minute green candle, how much
up to 31 all the way back down in 2 minutes.
Wow. yeah, there are the ranges. It peaked at the end of the second candle at 30.84. Triple D, I gotta give you some kudos on this one, because I have a legacy position in this from, well, I don't even know when all these companies do these splits and everything.
Yeah.
But what was it before?
L Brands.
L Brands.
Wasn't it from L Brands?
Right.
I think it was from L Brands. I forget, but I'm pretty sure it was from L Brands.
And so what else do I have with it? It's BBWI or something. That's probably getting crushed too, though. I don't know. But anyways, you kept on saying, oh, you should sell this. You should sell this. You should sell this. And I'm like, ah, it's a small position. It's even smaller now. But that's past history. I'll just, you got to go to the monthlies when you see this kind of price action. And what the monthlies are telling you is that, well, 1711 was low in November of last year. The all-time low is 1362. So keep an eye on 1711. I don't think you've traded there yet.
Maybe the move is to just look at any publicly traded company that's primarily a mall stock and short that, because I guarantee you, you know, if you're walking around the mall, you go to, you know, up here in Michigan, Somerset, wherever you are, Foot Locker, probably not doing that much traffic, and, you know, pull up Foot Locker's chart, because this one, I mean, again, got crushed yesterday.
Same thing.
Same thing. I mean, they're just dying. If not dying, there's no growth there.
We got such a gift, AB, with this recent retail rally where all these dogs of dogs, these Foot Lockers and Kohl's and all these retail stocks have just, you know, bounced back so much from the lows. The gifts of all gifts. And you know what? You got to take the profits into this stuff, because we're at a point here where the gifts are being given back. And you know what? There's no AI story here. You know, people buy more stuff online than ever. People aren't going to the mall like they used to. It's not coming back, folks. And it's such a good point. Go through the mall. Look at all the stores that are in these malls. If they've rallied significant these stocks, sell them. That's my opinion.
What the heck is driving the S&Ps right now? We just got up to Tuesday and Wednesday's high right at the 5135 area. There's been a
we did have an 830 number here, which we
did
just
have
glossed
an 8.
Over.
We were sleeping.
Yeah,
on the
I didn't
number.
Think it was gonna move the market like it did, but it did move it up. IWM really popped on this number here. Jobless claims just came out in line.
In line 217. Yep.
Yep. In line jobless claims that popped the TLT, which I'm gonna go again. TLT has bottomed. And that makes me change my mind on a lot of stocks. I just poo-pooed all the retails, mall-based retails. But you know what would help them is lower interest rates. You know, that would help all those companies there. So maybe you do get, you know, maybe this isn't the time. Maybe you got to, you know, rent them a little bit further here. But, I mean, IWM at this point in time looks like it's consolidating here to go higher. Obviously, I'm long IWM in the long-term portfolio. I'm long into my trading account. You know, I'm talking about, you know, this catch-up trade here for a while. It feels like we're going to start thinking about these lower rates here coming. It feels like as long as the inflation data doesn't get out of hand again, you know, the labor numbers are fine, that the Fed kind of has a green light to start talking, at least thinking about lowering rates here. And that's going to be good for a lot of companies here. I think like we got to start thinking about maybe some stuff that has been left in the dust and not necessarily buying the Teslas and stuff. And that would help them too. But, you know, just looking for those curl stocks that have been beat up and maybe a little bit of the catch-up trade here. So maybe some reallocation. I talked about this yesterday. Maybe some reallocation. If you're like 80% tech in your portfolio right now, maybe bring it down a little bit and start looking at some of these other stocks. It's been a mistake, but it's been 2 years of like higher rates going higher. If we start going to a lowering rate environment where the Fed's actually, you know, starting to lower rates, those other stocks should. Hypothetically, nothing ever works, you know, perfectly, should start to see a bit.
I mean, you ask what's driving the market right now. I mean, no surprise, NVIDIA making new all-time highs this morning, now above $900 a share. This thing was, you know, at one point trading in the 300s less than a year ago, which, I mean, look, at the end of the day, should a $800 billion company back when it was in the 300s be able to triple in a year, you don't see that very often. So, I mean, is it too much too fast, or is this market actually being efficient and efficiently pricing in this opportunity at hand for NVIDIA and other AI stocks?
I mean, it's all, everything is just a bit ridiculous.
It's silence. I mean, it is. It's doing what it's doing. I mean, not saying it should or shouldn't. It is.
I'm still long. I have not sold any of my core position in NVIDIA. I bought at 410. I bought more at 510. I bought more at 610. I sold the last 610 stock up at 690 because I was like, I'm getting a little bit, you know, I was buying it honestly just because people were talking so much trash to me about it. So I was like, you know, I'll buy more. But I haven't sold any of the stock that I bought at 410 or 510. I had that in separate accounts. I kind of had the 610 purchase, you know, and it separated. So I knew that was this on for a trade, and I didn't want to take that through earnings. So I sold that ahead of the earnings because I was like, I don't want to take a crapshoot trade through earnings. But I had the core position. It's 900. I've said on record from 500 to 600, 700, 800, 900, I said I think this can be a $1,000 stock. If it gets to 1,000, do I lighten up? I probably lighten up a bit, maybe at 1,000, because it's gotten to a point. But then again, you know, I lightened up my SMCI. That was perfect timing that I lightened that up, you know, right before the crap. But I didn't rebuy. Same thing. I didn't rebuy. And here you are a month later and you're like, well, why did I sell? So if you're going to time your sell right, you got to be willing to rebuy it. And you have 2 days or 3 days, 2 days to rebuy SMCI down the low 700s before it just exploded again. So story just continues to drive it. AMD, I sold half of that at 180 or something. I regret that half sale too. So it's like, you know, you're in a bull market. I tweeted this yesterday. When every time you sell something, you regret it.
Yeah, I just went through, I found one of my texts to my buddy because we've been, you know, talking about NVIDIA for years. And I texted him right before the company reported earnings a couple weeks ago. And I said, I think today might be your last chance to ever get NVIDIA under $700. And I don't know. I mean, we might be going back to 700 at some point. You know, I mean, we saw how weak chips got a couple years ago when, you know, when we had that big sell-off in tech after, what was that, like after 2021? I mean, it's crazy. I guess we don't have NVIDIA's chart up right now, but NVIDIA got down to, I want to say, $100 flat after being at like 350 when we had the big bull run in 2021. And chips were so out of favor. I mean, you had supply chain issues, you had weakening demand, you had an imminent recession that never came. And I mean, like, I almost wish we get another buying opportunity like that, Dennis, because I want to be able to buy NVIDIA at a cheaper level and just hold it forever. But now at $900, I don't know if I can buy it here.
Joel, Joel's like gone just the background, probably checking on the guests. But I mean, the point you make is what every institutional money manager is actively doing. Every time we get a dip on NVIDIA, institutional money managers are, thank you, I need to get in this stock to save my job. You know, like Tim Seymour made that point. I keep thinking about that point about 5-6 weeks ago when NVIDIA was like 600. And he said, just imagine being a money manager and you don't own NVIDIA. You're feeling pressure, not only from yourself, but from your investors. Because they're like, why don't I own NVIDIA? You're managing my money and you don't own NVIDIA. And this is the one that goes up every single day. So that pressure just gets to them too. It's why there's a relentless underneath demand for this stock. Is AI in the first inning, the second inning, or the ninth inning? If you think it's in the ninth inning, you sell it. I don't think NVIDIA, I don't even think AI is close. I think we're in like the first or the second inning here with AI. So I just, it's hard. Like, and I made this point too. I sell my NVIDIA. Where am I going? Where am I going with that money? I can throw it on the IWM for a catch-up trade. Maybe that's the thing to do. Maybe it is.
Where am I going? How do you use AI? How do you use it on a daily basis? I'm just curious.
My wife used it yesterday.
Okay.
Case in point, you know, it was ChatGPT, but she is so impressed with AI. She uses it for whatever she can. And I mean, this is where the applications are so early. That's why we're in the first innings. But there was something going on with the school, and, you know, it was like this lunch money. And, you know, it was a dumb policy. The school has a policy that, you know, that they didn't like these lunches they pay for. And if you didn't use the lunches, you just, you know, if you wanted to get out, they just keep the money. And she's like, well, this is, you know, brutal. You know, if I don't want the lunch, I want my money back. So she had AI draft her up a whole like thing, you know, on, you know, like a whole long. And I read it and I was like, that is awesome. You know, just giving it the facts and it drafted up, you know, why this policy needs to be changed. And I read that and it sounded like somebody that was an English major wrote it. Like, it was so good, Joel. I'm like, holy.
ChatGPT is very, very good at some things, and that's kind of an example of one, you know, writing a draft like that. It's very bad at other things. There's a lot of, like, simple math that'll screw up still. And, I mean, I thought when I first used ChatGPT, like, more than a year ago when it first became public, I was – or they made it available to public – I was like blown away by it, but it was making all these, you know, silly mistakes. And I really did think that, okay, just give it a few months and it'll, like, you know, hammer these mistakes out. But still, more than, you know, essentially a year and a half later, it's still when I use it, and again, it'll like I'll say to it, I'll be like, I don't think that math is right, and it'll say, oh, I'm sorry, you are correct, I messed that up. And I'm like, how can you access all this information in the world and then still mess up a basic addition or a basic multiplication? So I ChatGPT is amazing at some things, not great at others. The things that it's not great at, it will get better at over time.
And you're right. It makes a lot of mistakes. The Google one has just making so many mistakes. And that's why Google is on the complete outs here. And those mistakes are getting well publicized. Ooh. Where people are really, you know, talking about these mistakes. So Google is completely out of favor. But it's not just like ChatGPT, because Microsoft is not really rallying here either. And that's a ChatGPT, you know, Microsoft product, you know, we're talking about here, where you've got so many other, you know, applications that are coming that we can't even dream about here at this time. So I think, you know, there's just so many possibilities. But the company that is at the core of all of those possibilities is NVIDIA. And that's why it's hard to say, when this thing is trading 35 times forward earnings, that it can't grow into that multiple. The people who were poo-pooing the stock at 400, at 500, at 600, at 700 and 800. And you guys know who you are. And you believe with your core that this is a bubble and it's going to burst and the stock's going to go back to 300 and I'm going to be vindicated. Those people are all wrong. And they have been wrong. How do we know they're wrong? Because the stock is at $900. Maybe AI is going to turn out to be a bubble and we're not going to use it, Joel. And maybe that's going to be, I'm not betting that way though. And I have said, you know what? I am rare to invest in bubbles. Look at my history. I am rare to come
complete
in
opposite. Complete
and say, I short all the bubbles, folks. I was like this, you know, think about, you know, like my history of 10 years doing the show, blockchain. I poo-poo that, you know, I poo-pooed a lot of things. I've been saying the whole time that I think AI is real. I think this is not the next, you know, blockchain or not the next, you know, COVID stocks or this or whatever fad there was. I don't think it's a fad. I think it's real. And I think investors who have been betting that this is just, you know, another bubble aren't doing the facts and the home and the checks. So do I think NVIDIA is going to pull back? Is it overvalued at this time? Maybe. But AMD's exploding now and its valuation's a hell of a lot higher than NVIDIA here. So everything's just telling us that, you know, it's come from 700, 800, 900. Give Kenny Click some shout out. Stocks go from 700, 800 to 900, usually go to 1,000. They usually do. So I think it's eventually going to $1,000, and maybe I'm going to be wrong, and maybe you guys are all going to tape this, and the haters will say, here's Dennis, you know, talking positive about NVIDIA at 904. But they won't tell that I talk positive about it at 420, at 520, at 620, at 720. They'll only point out that I'm talking positive 904 because it's their, you know, goal to, like, just, you know, they like to see, you know, obviously people not succeed. It's jealousy. Jealousy is what it is.
I just want to address something from the chat here. Someone asked about VKTX and why is that down today? And Dennis, I mean, you're the expert on relationships. And I know when you see that NVO news probably came out overnight, you're probably not rushing out to buy NVO, but you'll look at relationships and other stocks in that arena, right? And who just came out with good news on weight loss drugs is VKTX. Does that necessarily mean this is old, super bad news for them? No, but it's a perception. So VKTX, if you're wondering why that's down $8, blame Novartis. If you're trading Lilly and you're trying to get out at the mark, blame Novartis. So I just wanted you to talk real quickly about
I think the VKTX dip will get bought, though. So I don't know where, and maybe you don't want to be on day one. But it's down 100%. It's down because of NVO. That's it. You know, like you have, you know, other good drugs and then they knock this one down. But does that, you know, and again, this story, you know, it's a story. It's in phase two. To Cramer's point, who Cramer has just been making fabulous points lately. You know, as much as we've given Cramer some heat on this show, Cramer has been hot as hell lately. You know, like he's turned it around. His short fund, the fund that was betting against him, you know,
gone.
Like, and is it gone? Is it officially gone? Short Jim, SJIM, it's gone.
Oh, I think, is it gone?
It's gone. It's delisted, It never really got traction there. We love
never
Matt
Never got
Tuttle,
the volume.
You know? We love Matt Tuttle. He comes up with great ideas. Sometimes they don't work. And you know what? This is why Matt's great, too. Does it cut his losses? It's not working out. People aren't interested in Short and Jim. Short and Jim just got, Jim has just been hot. He's been hot. You know, as, you know, cold as Dan Nathan has been, I'll give that shout out to Dan Nathan there. As cold as he has been, and he's been ice cold. He was tweeting at me the other day and not pleased with what I said, you know, just basically saying, you know, you've been wrong on NVIDIA all the way up. Yeah, he tweeted at me. That's fine. You know, I respect Dan Nathan, though. He's convicted his opinions, and he sticks to them. He believes NVIDIA is in a bubble, and, you know, maybe it is, and maybe he's going to be right. But I'm like, at a certain point in time, you got to kind of say, I got it wrong. He's not admitting that he got it wrong. He says, you know, the market is wrong, and he's going to end up being right here. I don't think it's the case.
The market's usually right. The market is usually right.
The market is usually, well, it's usually right in the short term. Sometimes in the long term, you do get it right. So maybe Dan's going to be right here. But Cramer's been all over buying, you know, just invest. He's went to the whole thing, like, hold NVIDIA, you know, don't trade it, just own it. He's got that one in there too, which he's said for Apple for a long time too. But Cramer has been really hot. So we'll give Cramer some love here. He deserves it. He's saying on VKTX, this is where we went on the tangent. He's saying on VKTX that it's only in phase two. So you were buying a very speculative, and I'm with them on that too. It's very speculative. But, you know, there's people who are hungry, and this isn't, we looked at this too. This isn't a huge market cap company. So there is the possibility that somebody might just say, phase two, we can work with this. You know, maybe we can work with this. So I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility. Cramer said this too, that this stock could actually get acquired. It's not, you know, out of the realm of possibility here. So, and I'm not the first to say that. Everybody, Cramer was saying it, you know, other people are saying it too. You talk about $9 billion market cap. It's a fairly small company. It's a drop in the bucket for some of these big guns. And if you're not in the arena and you think this drug, if you're doing your homework and you're like, phase two is really good, that this is going to be one, maybe you come in and you try to scoop them up. So I think there's going to be a buyer here for I think today's sell-off will get bought back. I think I'd be a buyer that dip on VKTX.
Yeah, I mean, how much are we down now on VKTX from where we spiked the other day on that news, on the trial news?
The high was 99.41.
Oh, so we're not down at all. We did drop a little.
We're at 83.29 now. Now, what you want to see now in this, if you're long it, you've been trading it, is just maybe some quiet consolidation. You know, it doesn't have to go straight back up to 99. It doesn't necessarily have to ever go down and fill the gap. But what you see after these kind of moves and news and stuff is you like to see a little consolidation where people are going, you know, scratching their head or doing a quiet accumulation or not lifting offers. So today, if you're looking for a level, that level would be right where we're at, just below where we're at right now. 83.56 is your two-day low. And then 80.51 is your four-day low. So, you know, split those, maybe 81.75, but like to see a couple days of consolidation.
All right, let's do a little earnings preview. We do have some big companies reporting after the close today. Let's start with Broadcom, AVGO. Basically trading at all-time highs, right, heading into the report this afternoon.
Yeah, again, the strategy of just owning stocks ahead of the reports just
good
seems
stocks
to work. Good, yeah, and the storied stocks. You know, you look at what reports tonight. Let's just go through the list here. DocuSign. Trading up 1%, more than the market. We got AVGO trading up 2%, way more than the market. MRVL, it's trading up more than the market again, up 0.77%. You know, the Gap, which retail stocks aren't even doing good today, that's trading up. GPS, more than the market here. There's a theme here, folks. GWRE doesn't have a market here yet. MongoDB, it's kind of trading where the market is. But just owning these stocks, and it's one of my core strategies ahead of the reports, it seems to work. Again, there's times, you know, when risk comes off, you know, it can get ugly too. And you got to understand what you have if you're in full, you know, risk, you know, how is it related to the markets? How do you hedge it? But overall here, just owning stocks ahead of the reports works. I don't typically take these stocks through, but a core strategy for mine is to own these stocks like a week ahead of the report or be biased, you know, on the trading side of it. I might be day trading, I'm buying dips on because they pop back up. And the overnight moves, I'm often along them overnight, are usually pretty good. Why? Because people are talking about these stocks. People are excited for the reports. If you're short the stock, you're probably covering into it because you don't want to take it through the report. There's lots of reasons to be long stocks ahead of the reports. That strategy has worked for years, working again.
Hey, Dennis, are you getting any latency on your quotes? Because any problems? Because you're just very faint, and maybe it's just on my end, but you faded out a little bit. So be careful on your internet connection. Or is that just me?
Sorry.
Or is that just me hearing things? Did you hear that, AB?
Aaron, did I fade out?
Yeah, it was just like some mumbling on the mic. I don't know what's going on, but if that continues, we'll.
Okay,
it sounded good to me.
No, I just want, because I know you get out of a lot of positions and stuff, and you know.
Rogers, we'll give Rogers some hate. I'm still with Rogers.
What's the symbol on that?
RCI.
RCI. Okay.
Remember they had the outage. Rogers here. It's where I'm at. It's Rogers. I actually called Bell and I'm like, when are you sending me your high speed fiber optic line? I know it's out there. And they're like, well, you can't connect to it yet because I know they've been running. And I was like, I want to switch to Bell. I'm done with Rogers.
All right. Other companies reporting after the close today. We do have Costco, everyone's favorite, wholesaler store. Costco, as like Broadcom, I want to say is trading basically at all-time highs heading into the report. So, like you said, Dennis, that's kind of been the trend. If you own these stocks heading into the report, you've probably been done pretty well. I don't know if you take your profits now and sell before the report, or
I do. I always sell them usually before the report. I'm owning them usually, and again, I like trading overnight. So you see these overnight moves, and I'll take it the next morning. Then I'll rebuy it at the close a lot of times, and then sell them overnight. And sometimes they don't work. You know, Spinner pointing out, I got the beats on CrowdStrike. You're right, I got the beats on CrowdStrike two nights ago because it got hit during it. That was an ugly morning for me. So sometimes it doesn't always work. Nothing works 100% of the time, folks. If you can find the strategy that works 100% of the time, please. Send it to me because I'd love to have 100% hit ratio. If I make money 52% of the time, if I'm 52% correct, I'll make money overall. How's my, am I fading out here again or my internet connection's okay now?
No, you're good.
You're good.
Okay. So I don't know what happened. Yeah. So anyways, 52, 53, 55, some of the best traders are 60, some of the best. You want to be 100% right, and everybody, somebody in the chat pointing out, oh, you've been wrong on Tesla. Well, sure, but I got NASA pretty good. My account, is sitting at all-time highs. My long-term investment account's at all-time highs. My trading account's at all-time highs. I must be doing something right. You know how I know I'm doing something right? The P&L is going up.
Green, baby, green.
Yeah.
Okay, did we preview the stocks? Let's go Krogering.
Yeah, Kroger reported earnings this morning. Let me go ahead and get those numbers up real quick. This has been, I never had a Kroger where I was before I moved to Michigan. But this
really?
We don't have that in Missouri. We've got it here, though, and that's been the store that I go to. So I'm not, full disclosure, I'm not in this stock, but I do shop there. Kroger reported EPS of $1.34, beat the $1.13 estimate. Sales, slight miss. They did give an outlook for 2024, and the guidance was pretty good. So the strong profit guidance is helping prop the stock up. Now up more than 4% this morning for Kroger, ticker KR.
Everyone knows what I'm going to say about Kroger.
I don't know what you're going to say.
I don't know what you're going to say about Kroger. Maybe you don't know, so we're excited.
Okay,
enlighten us.
So for like Michigan football games and special occasions and tailgating, I make this Georgia Reuben. Okay. And you need, it's a ripoff from Zingerman's, but what you need is a special coleslaw and you can only get it at Kroger's. So I love Kroger's. Okay. And it's, they're pretty good local around here. So my Kroger's coleslaw, give it an upgrade. I'm just going to say, I'm going to ask if Warren is still in this. I think he is. And number two, this could be a major breakout for Kroger. We have been under 50 bucks in this stock since late 2022. We have another monthly high here at 52 bucks. That's where we're opening. But man, if this can establish, not just today, tomorrow, whatever, if this can establish a strong bid over 50 bucks here, man, this thing, this could be a major breakout, not on the daily, weekly, but on the monthlies. And then what's the symbol for Albertsons? Is that
ACI?
I hear that deal.
I think it's pretty much dead.
Dead?
I think
okay.
The merger is pretty much dead. I'll take the other side, Joel. I'm not buying Kroger. There's no AI story here. It's a grocery store. It's up 4%. It feels like a big move for that. I'd sell it.
Okay.
That's why we have a market, me and Joel. We haven't had a bet in like years.
If.
We haven't had a bet in years, me and you. We're not been on the same side too much. That's our problem. We used to be on the opposite sides. Now we've been on the same side.
Yeah, because you convinced me never to be bearish again.
This after I had bearish last year, big time.
I remember arguing with you and Mitch, and you had like Taiwan and this and that and everything. And I wasn't necessarily that bullish. I just wanted to argue with you.
Yeah, no, I like arguing too. Yeah. It's fun. I like arguing. This is what it's about. It's fun. Arguing your position, you know, arguing why. I argue with Dan Nathan, you know, like he's on the other side. It's good. You know, like it's got to be somebody on the other side. You know, we've been right on NVIDIA, but, you know, I'll be wrong on some stuff too. I'm wrong lots of times. I might be wrong on NVIDIA too. Maybe 900. Maybe today is the day, folks. Maybe 903.60 is the absolute top on NVIDIA. Maybe today is the day. My Twitter followers have told me it was a 600, 700, 8, 666. Remember 666? And we're like, it's it. That's the top for NVIDIA forever and ever and ever. So maybe today it's going to be the day. It's going to top one day.
You know what? Let's try picking
maybe
top.
Maybe today is going to be the day.
Let's try every day. We're going to do a new segment at 8:57. And it's going to be, let's pick a top into NVIDIA.
Okay? Today is 903.60.
Okay.
Let's say 2,500.
Okay.
2,500. Oh, no. I like you, Aaron. If it goes to 2,500, I'm retiring.
You get a raise. I guess we got to qualify it. How about the next 100-point down move?
Dennis?
Crickets?
The next 100-point down move after it hits 1,000.
Okay, so you think it'll go?
I think you get the washout. I think you go, like, I think you're going to get 1,000. And then just like SMCI, there could be like a washout after that. So I think you're going to 1,000.
I mean, we were talking earlier about, is this a bubble? And we don't know. We can't predict exactly what's going to happen in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years with AI. But what we can do is look at the material and fundamental, changes you're seeing in NVIDIA's earnings and stuff like that. And that growth is already here. So you're seeing that. So that's why, like, when I see people talking about NVIDIA as if it's, you know, Bitcoin running or GameStop running, it's like, no, this is different. You have fundamental reasons behind. You have growth already in the very early stages. I mean, even if it is the first inning of AI, you're already seeing that earnings growth. Who was it? We had someone come on. Was it D-Trek? Someone came on and said that NVIDIA is cheaper than it was, you know, 18 months ago or 26 months ago, whatever it was, on a valuables or on a valuation and multiple standpoint. So I'm not like calling it. I'm not ready to call a top at NVIDIA. If it's going up 2% every day, then I'm gonna be bullish it until it proves me wrong.
Okay, they're getting fed up with the NVIDIA talk, so we'll do a couple more stocks here. Chat, give us a stock. We haven't done a ticker time here. Want to do 2 minutes of ticker time here? Give us your stock. First one that pops in there right now. Caesar was the last message there. I bet it splits before 1,000, he says. I think it's going to hit 1,000 before it splits. Next stock, ticker. Marvell, good one. Marvell reports tonight. MRVL.
They just had the CEO on CNBC.
And it's been running into the report. We know what happens when they're running into the report. The expectations are higher. So just keep that in mind. We're straight up, literally 12% in 4 days in the report. Again, the core strategy, buying stocks ahead of reports, works here again. Maybe doesn't work for one day, but it's been working overall. Owning them a week ahead of before and selling is working right now, working again. I don't know on this one. It's always a coin flip, but expectations are high for MRVL going into the print.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty hard to give technicals on this one. I can't get really much off the monthlies because they had to double top over $90. I would just say if you're looking to trim today, I think you'll see some resistance at 82.51. That was yesterday's high, and I expect to see support near the close at 81.37, but nothing special here on Marvell.
I did see someone, Jay Mott, this is a stock I meant to bring up earlier anyway, but Pfizer hit 11-year lows yesterday, and then bounced, got up went up about 5%. Josh Brown called this out on CNBC and said he was buying, said it's the best opportunity in the market right now. I mean, I know this is a not everyone's favorite stock, kind of controversial, but anytime a stock's at 11-year lows, I'm gonna be looking at it, whether it's because I think it's going to zero or for a potential buy.
I've had this one exactly wrong. You know, I admit when I'm wrong. I've been wrong on Pfizer, wrong. How do I know I'm wrong? I'm down money in it. I'm down big money in Pfizer. It's been a dog of all dogs. I underestimated the COVID, you know, earnings that were in there. They've all come out. I feel like all the bad news is priced in here. I haven't sold the stock because I feel like long term I'm still going to be okay. And I'm with Josh Brown, 6% dividend. I feel like they're eventually going to figure it out. Maybe Pfizer should go buy VKTX. Maybe that's what they should do. Get involved here. But Pfizer, the dividend is nice down here. I've recently bought Bristol Myers. You know that I've talked about that. That one is going well. But I think there's like, if interest rates actually start going down, I think it's good for these companies here too. So healthcare, big pharma, some of it has really been beat up. If you haven't had any of the weight loss drug story, you really honestly haven't been doing that good. So Pfizer, Bristol Myers been absolute dogs. They're barking for a couple of days. Is this the turnaround here? It's as hard to call a bottom in Pfizer as it is to call a top in NVIDIA.
It's been down 13 out of the last 14 months.
Terrible.
And you're working on a green candle for this month, 26.56. Now it's only March 7th. So, I mean, if you can get a green candle for the month, then, you know, maybe lean on that 25.61. And then when you get stopped out there, you can maybe try it again. But that's what you're looking at here for Pfizer. Or if you want to not wait for the month to end. I don't know what the news was yesterday. I'd be looking to pick it up at a gap fill at 26.42 for Pfizer. And that's a stinker. I got that stinker in my portfolio too.
All right. It is 9:03 a.m. That means it's time for us to wrap. Unfortunately, we do have live trading though, starting up right here. This stream will redirect you there. Joel, what do we got going on tomorrow?
What we got going on tomorrow is a secret.
Shoot. I just saw your slack. All right. Well, yeah, tune in for the secret tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern. It should be a great show. It was fun today. We had a lot of, you know, we had more time today to just chat with ourselves. So hope you guys enjoyed that in the chat.
Yeah, maybe we don't need guests anymore.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and cancel all of them next week. All right.
There you go.
Yep. Make sure to stay tuned. Again, this stream will redirect you there. Smash the like if you haven't already, and we'll see you guys tomorrow morning. We'll